Blog Talk Radio. Peace and blessings, and welcome to Flavor in the House. This is going to be another listening party. Today I thought I would feature some spoken word. It's been a while. Actually, it's been a very long time since I've actually done a show that just features spoken word. So I thought I'd sneak an hour show in today before I have to head to work and bring you some very, very talented spoken word artists from across the United States. So I am actually going to start out tonight with a piece by one of my favorites. This is Baron Parker with his piece, Tonight for Tonight or Forever.
Your heart to a state of bliss, to be able to open the doors of your heart and soul, or to feel the warmth of a touch, a hug, or a kiss. Now ask yourself, where do you want love to take you? Do you want to be engulfed in beautiful memories that may not last, or do you want a security that heals wounds and mends the past? Is what you want for tonight or forever? Tonight or forever?
All right, that was Baron Parker with his beautiful, beautiful piece called For Tonight or Forever. My dear friend, Alvin Lloyd Alexander Horn, with his piece called I Am That Man, and he is also playing the stand-up bass while he recites that particular piece. Now I'm going to take you out to South Carolina and play a piece by another very dear friend of mine, and this is Verbal Skills with his piece called Dolphins Cry.
Deep within my imagination's womb, where hope was born, laid a tropical paradise that forged a beautiful lagoon. Fragrances of lilacs, jasmine, lotus flowers that never sleep, while all the mythical creatures did come just to steal a glance, a peek. During the day, the sun would gently hide its Icarian rays for all those at play, while at night, a jealous moon would grace those with silvery, glowing beams, spinning magic for all to consume. Let's not forget the wind, for it too offered its treasures like the flight of a Mariposa, only coming to rest upon the beautiful silky hair of my lover. Upon a steel crawling boulder creeping into the lagoon, I held my lover's being ever so close to me, embracing the fertile wings as I whispered incantations of a loving man, desiring her woman's measure. Like no one else could, she simply smiles so radiantly that jubilant dolphins would come with their gleeful chatter, admiring the glistening moisture upon her mahogany skin that shone like the stars in the firmament of glory. I felt my nakedness complete. Holding her against her, we descended like pillow feathers into the lascivious lukewarm water with a saying kiss. And like a lamb being sacrificed, we too became victim to the touch. We procreated a love, a son, a daughter, a legacy that would live way, way far beyond these words as our passion consumed all manner of fires, cosmic and earthly. The dolphins would jump, flip, roll, splashing water with wondrous sprays of dream-soaked kisses all over us, and then at that critical, intimate moment, I screamed like the beasts of the Serengeti, and she called my name like the woven and thunderous waves ingressing upon the rocky shores with a squeal that would make lightning flee. But tonight, I sit upon that same rock, alone. Alone in this moonless darkness of a cobblestone mist, my mind began a quest to renew my desperation's plea of insanity. While looking into our dolphin's eyes, I tasted their acrid tears that asked the question, why? Their acrid tears. My dolphins cry. I sit upon this same rock in the darkness of a cobblestone mist. My dolphins cry. Their acrid tears that ask the question, why?
All right, that was Verbal Skills with his piece called Dolphins Cry. I'm going to keep you in South Carolina and play a piece by my girl Lyrical Disciple, and this piece is called I Am Yours.
I am the prelude to a tender kiss, the cadence of your heart's beat, the shallow breath of your soul, the illumination where darkness dwells. I am the melanin of your skin, the celestial innovator of love within, the laughter of inhibitions free, the clarity inbred on life's mysteries. I am the echo of your sorrow's cry, the lingering essence of days gone by, the breeze that has tasted your tears, the mellow vibe that has dissolved your fears. I am the massive layers lifted, restlessness soothed, a peaceful rendition to unsung grooves that sway to the spirited rhythm of the wind. I am yours.
That was I Am Yours by Lyrical Disciple out of South Carolina. Now I want to take you to Philadelphia and play a piece by somebody I respect so very, very much. This is Lady Blue, and her piece is called Inept Solution.
Black folks talk about a revolution. When it comes, what you will need to do, the courage it is going to take, and how it is going to be. But I want to miss the rest. all man-made governments have balance, whatever the time. But time has shown, and God's word makes it known, that to earthly man, his way does not belong. It does not belong to man who is walking, even to direct his steps. So I want to miss the revolution. Mutilating one another, fighting for rights, God-given rights, agitated, aggravated, and annihilated, yes, killing and being killed, allowing hate to penetrate their souls. No, I want to miss the revolution, because even after the revolution, those that do not know and defy God, those that have contempt of others, those that have no love in their hearts will still exist in insatiable deeds, blinded by tradition, drenched in biases, will not vanish. And those that thrive on aggression will not disappear. Neither will those that are masterful at manipulating the honest-hearted and the humble. They will just create new platforms. Mankind must love, mankind must change, especially those ignorant of the essence of brotherly love. The revolution will do nothing to better man's heart, to teach humility, to increase love, and eliminate greed. So, I want to miss the revolution and trust in my God's solution, cause my God promises a peaceful time here on earth, a time when no resident will say I am sick, a time when death will be no more, neither will mourning nor outcry nor pain be anymore, a time when men will learn war no more. So I want to miss the revolution, because it will not be a revolution that creates the evolution of one's heart, removing all bitterness, evoking one's mind to peace and sensibility as it enhances loving behavior. So, I want to miss the revolution. As I continue praying that the evil ways of the world will pass while teaching about Jah's kingdom, a government that will forever last. Matters not how you label me or judge me, for your labels and judgments will not change my style, neither will it dampen my heart or my smile. Revolution comes, if the revolution comes, whether it comes by political propaganda, the rich man's deceit, or discontented folks just fighting in the streets, I will not need to know. I will have no need to go, because I am going to miss the inevitability of any man-made.
Piece called Inept Solution. Now I'm going to take you down to the ATL and play a piece by Eric Moore, and this is called Jekyll's Hyde.
Ma, I'm on the road again. I got a bag full of dreams and a pocket full of lies. A head full of schemes and giant HDTV plasma screens for eyes. And all I see in front of me are empty lines and a brand new book, enticing me to write down my broken promises and sins. You see, some people use alcohol and drugs to fight off their demons, but me, I use number two pencils, white pages, and black pens. They say, heavy is the head that wears the crown. die. And when I got that call that night, it rained and I cried. And sometimes I can't maintain or mask the pain inside. So I make love to an entire bottle of Hennessy and become trickles high. And no, I don't believe in suicide. But I'm slowly killing myself with stress-filled days and fast women. Call me Iron Man, cause I'm just a ghost of a shell trapped in my own personal hell. Walking down this road to perdition, looking for Restoration Boulevard so I can get on that highway to heaven. But you keep telling me that that exit is closed, and I suppose you're right. So I make a detour to the closest open mic, sign my name on a list and confess my sins, like that'll make everything better. And as I recite my life for 5 minutes, for 5 minutes I see you in a crowd smiling at me, and that makes everything better. But when I'm done, the dream fades, the crowd evaporates, and all I'm left with are memories of you, that moment and that empty stage. And every door I walk through takes me right back to that lonely room, that brand new book and that empty page. I feel like I'm Bill Murray, and my entire life since you died is Groundhog Day. I'm reliving every minute, regretting every hour, looking for a better way just to say, I'm sorry.
All right, that was Eric Moore with his piece called Jekyll's Hyde. Now I want to take you over to Virginia and play a piece by Terrell K, and this is called The Storm.
They say there's always a quiet before the storm, but judging by these dark clouds, this one's not of the norm. I can see the lightning bolts flash from far away. A part of me wants to inquire, God, are you okay? But instead of a reply, I hear a deep rumbling. I see the clouds twisting and tumbling. They're getting closer, so I seek shelter from the rain. The clouds are twisting and turning as though they're in pain. What's going on? Will this storm die out? It seems as though the clouds are a hurt soul ready to cry out. Deep, dark, and shifting as though an impending doom. One flash in the sky followed by a boom. But instead of a clash, I hear a voice speak clearly, saying you all have forsaken all I truly hold dearly. Many of you say that God doesn't care, but this is a sample of the words that I hear from down there. We're okay with homosexual marriages, 8-year-old girls pushing baby carriages. Have sex, that's the habit, and unprotected. Let TV raise our children and leave them neglected. Let pedophiles lay hands on our children. Let's keep doing songs disrespecting our women. Let's support abortion in the skies of pro-choice. Let's hunt the church and take away its voice. Let's all chase after the ice and bling. Ignore signs of God, but there's no such thing. Matter of fact, let's play God and begin to clone life. Let's tell a husband it's only natural to cheat on his wife. And vice versa, we'll all become whores. Keep TV and reality show lies worse than yours. Let's keep competing, turning friends to foes. Embarrass the fathers, children, time and time on talk shows. We'll take pervertedness and cram it down your throats. It's okay to have sex acts, mistakes, birds, and ghosts. We'll make right wrong and make wrong right. Tell tales of death and smile while the news every night. Pass corners out to kids and say that they're accurate. Sex is too good to remain abstinent. We can kill your baby and cure almost all STDs. Keep people living in fear with tales of WMDs. Change the color for the terror alert. These things I hear and more truly make my heart hurt. So you can see the rain, those are my tears flowing. For man has become so full of yourselves and all knowing. You see the lightning clash, that's my anger manifested. Boy, you quest to know it all, my road is being tested. So as the thunder gets louder, just watch and pray. But as the storm ceases and the clouds rolled away, I watch the clouds of lightning flash as each roll. Dropped on my knees and prayed for every last soul. Dear Father, all belongs to you. Please forgive us, for we know not what we do.
That was Terrell K with his piece called The Storm. Now I'm going to take you out to California and play a piece by Epiphany, and this is called Bittersweet.
Thank you.
forever. I thought the 12th of never could never describe, nor could I ascribe the immense definition of what it meant to love you. Even if I chopped down 1,000,000 trees so that I may make handmade paper and lay love's ink upon its blank reflection, staring back at me, I could write until I took my last breath, and I would still have nothing left until I transition to the next plane of my next lifetime. Maybe God would have sweet, sweet mercy on me and erase the memories of you, and maybe I'd be free. I thought love lived eternally, and when I say eternally, I mean 10,000 lifetimes to the power of 10. But then again, see, I've never been good in math. The equations like you plus me equal we was never a reality. Sadly, I had convinced myself that if I tried, if I really, really, really tried, I might just be enough. But I was wrong, and now you're gone. Here I am, left holding not even a tiny piece of you. And it hurts. It hurts beyond your scope. Because love is not patient and love is not kind. Even as I wanted you to climb inside of me so that you could see what I see through my eyes, taking up residency only if temporarily you might have understood what you meant to me. You lit me like a joint, burning cascades of smoldering clouds of unspoken promises, until the gray ashes of me no longer served you, but I can still serve you. Only now I will serve you a plate of bittersweet discontentment, laced with disappointment and regret, chased with libations of sorrow in one single shot. And you can spit or swallow on all of this or not, while I open the doors to tomorrow's now. I shall take the memory of you and fold it quietly and safely into a delicate square and place it into my back pocket, where it will forever stay.
That was Epiphany with her piece called Bittersweet. Now I want to bring you back up here to the Pacific Northwest and play a piece by another one of my dear friends. And this is 60th the Messenger with his signature piece called Melancholy Whispers.
Melancholy whispers calling out my name. She's a sad and lonely mistress, feeding on my pain, sneaking in when I'm sleeping and clouding up my brain. Oh, melancholy whispers, here we go again. Melancholy whispers, spreading doubt in my ears, watching from a distance, then pouncing on my fears, telling me I can't make it, so why even try? Stay down here with me and we'll have ourselves a good cry. Don't really want to listen, but my self-esteem is weak, and these damnable whispers
paint a picture so bleak.
Melancholy whispers calling out my name. She's a sad and lonely mistress feeding on my pain, sneaking in when I'm sleeping and clouding up my brain. Our melancholy whispers, here we go again. Melancholy whispers making me think that I'm no good, sowing seeds of mistrust for self, saying I can't do what once I could. That little devil on my shoulder says, look, the world's a mess. Why bother trying to save him? They won't care. Why should you stress? Sometimes I can see just giving in, just letting go, just letting them win. But inside my mind I know that not trying is the biggest sin. So this path I'm on is where I stay.
I must stay on the path.
Even if the whispers never go away. Melancholy whispers calling out my name. She's a sad and lonely mistress feeding on my pain, sneaking in when I'm sleeping and clouding up my brain. Oh, melancholy whispers, here we go again. Melancholy whispers slashing at my will. No rest even though I'm weary, because the wicked never stay still. I'm here to make a change. Some laugh at me, some scheme on me, some look at me like I'm strange. But I am blessed by the Almighty, and I will endure and fight the strain. What don't kill you makes you stronger. Somebody told me that a while ago. Anything worth having must be strived for. I learned that a long time ago. No matter the obstacles, no matter the words and utterings of the naysayers, I will accomplish what I came here for. And these melancholy whispers will haunt me no more. Melancholy whispers calling out my name. She's a sad and lonely mistress feeding on my pain, sneaking in when I'm sleeping and clouding up my brain. Oh, melancholy whispers, here we go again. Melancholy whispers,
do your best.
I won't be swayed. I am here to lead us back to the path from which we have strayed. My spirit, my heart, my mind,
my body,
strong to endure the fight. My inner eye is open to lead those blinded to sight. The power of He who is guides me in my quest and gives me the courage to handle any test. I come as a warrior for all my brothers and sisters. So do your worst, say what you will.
I
won't be
stopped.
Can you stop?
Stop.
By melancholy whispers. Melancholy whispers calling out my name. She's a sad and lonely mistress feeding on my pain, sneaking in when I'm sleeping and clouding up my brain. A melancholy whispers, here we go again.
That was Six Deep, the Messenger, with his piece, Melancholy Whispers. Now I'm going to take you out to Connecticut and play a piece by Dakota Dark House, and this is called Black to White to Nothing.
From black to white to nothing, and how my life has played out. Take a look through the colorblind eyes, and when you see your great tears begin to take form, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It fades, and it is all fading away. There is no hope left for me on this planet. No, not tomorrow. No, not today. Why? Oh God, why? It seems as if I have mislaid all of my control. Why? Oh God, why? A confounded owner of a nomad heart and a vagabond soul. My wrists want to bleed, my feet want to jump down, down, down. My jaded mind wants to concede, my hyperactive corpse just wants to drown, drown, drown. Anger fills me, fear overwhelms me, and I can't avoid the pain. Silence shuts me, desire devours me. But these thoughts that have been siphoned in my brain will always remain. My prescription has been depleted, no meds in 3 days. On the roof, oh God, on the roof, 5 stories up, just waiting to descend. I could have jumped down. Oh God, I could have made it all come to a sudden tragic end. Why me? Not again. What is happening? Closer to death than ever. Impulses rise, I fall. Will this perpetual process go on forever? What am I holding in? What is at the core of all this malicious madness? What am I hiding from? What is at the source of all this fear and sadness? I have to find the long lost answers to the questions that I hope are never asked again. From color to gray to nothing. Who pulled the plug and permitted the visible spectrum to drain? What is happening? From black to white to nothing is how this cycle always remains. Take a look at the colorblind world and pay particular attention to the gray blood spilling out of your veins. It slips, and it is all slipping away. There is no hope left for this world. Why couldn't the trust always stay? Why? Oh God, why? A failure with no self-esteem or someone to love. Why? Oh God. God, why? When the whole world is gray, there's no reason to look up at the skies above. I hate myself, my face, I want to rip it off, scratch it until it bleeds. I hate this world, this life, I want to kill it all, drop the bomb and destroy all the seeds. The only place I could run back to is my home, but I seem to have misplaced the key. The only possession I cherish is my mind, but even that betrays me. From everything to something to nothing, crawling in the dark in fear, this process is once again repeated. The panic, the doubt, the worries, they all crush me and I feel defeated. I hate my corruption, I just want to be myself, but I don't know how. I bend under pressure, I snap under anxiety. This all must stop now, now. I hate the way this black and white world captures my soul and cages it in its own wicked wrath. From white to black to nothing, it doesn't matter which comes first, it's still a three-punch knockout all the same. From black to white to nothing, if depression were a profession, I'd be in the Hall of Fame. From real to counterfeit, I had a dream inside of a nightmare tonight. In the midst of this artificial mechanical world, I saw the most spectacular pseudo-sight. Somewhere in between the gray rain clouds and behind the black rainbow, I saw color for the first time. The yellow sun started to shine so bright on the green grass. The red roses began to bloom. I looked into your eyes and finally made you mine. Everything is okay now. From nothing to something to everything. Now together, we can lay below the resplendent rainbow. I can showcase a subtle smile upon my face. From nothing to gray to color. Now I will no longer need to hide in the soft, white snow. All walls are down, all depression has departed, and nothing is left that is false and fake. My fear is banished, all doubts have fallen, nothing has remained that is gray and opaque. My soul sings in the breeze like a wind chime. I am reborn, I am free. I flow at the speed of time. I am human, I am me. From bronze to silver to gold, now I'll take a sip from that forbidden golden cup. From black to white to nothing, everything will be just fine as long as I never wake up. Thank you.
That was Dakota Darkhouse with his piece called Black, excuse me, Black to White to Nothing. Now I'm going to take you out to Michigan and play a piece by Bomani, and his piece is called Paradise.
Love is for eternity, turning I into we. Nature's paradise, writing lyrics and branding music upon soul. Synchronized heartstrings harmonized together in song. Love is for eternity, turning I into we. Nights in paradise. Melodies come alive, dwelling forever, transcending time, line after line. Love is for eternity, turning I into we.
That was Bomani with his piece called Paradise. Now I'm going to take you out to Georgia and play a piece by Diamond J, and this is called Letter to the Government.
Mm-hmm.
my letter to the government. Dear Uncle Sam, most of my life I didn't care one way or the other how you did business. All I knew is that everybody that works for you is granted the license to lie and contradict what is told to the country you're supposed to serve and protect. Had I known what I found out about my father before I wasted 4 years of my life working for you, I never would have signed up for the Navy. It's bad enough your employees caused me to miss out on the birth of my first child, but knowing that ain't the only thing you caused me to miss out on is why I'm writing you now. You remember my father, Clinton Overton? Yeah, it doesn't surprise me that you don't. He was one of the many soldiers who survived the Vietnam conflict that your counterpart at the time had no business starting. Then to add insult to injury, you drafted my father and many others to go and fight for something that, from what I've been told, wasn't even worth it. No, I wasn't born or thought of when Vietnam went down, but that ain't the point. The point is, because of how you did him and the rest who survived, is the reason I had never had a relationship with him. Did you forget that those who were drafted were never put through basic training? Your people, for some reason, didn't think training of any kind was needed. All your people did was give them two choices, fight for us or go to jail. There were some who were strong-minded enough to face jail rather than fighting a war that didn't make sense to them. Others didn't want to go to jail and felt they didn't have much of a choice. Even the great Muhammad Ali, formerly known as Cassius Clay, didn't have any problems with Viet Cong, or rather Vietnam. So why should he fight for a country that disrespected him and his ancestors in the worst way possible? Once again, had I known then what I know now, had I known that despite the very people you serve, you ignore their cries to stop the war, despite the soldiers who survived and made it back home, they wasn't given their just due, neither by you or the public. The public was too ignorant of the soldiers' well-being because of the fact that the war shouldn't have taken place to begin with. If I had known that you treated the very soldiers you forced to fight for you as lab rats and guinea pigs for Agent Orange, I never would have worked for you. It's bad enough they wasn't welcomed back into the country by the public, but after the war was over, you just tossed them back into society as if it was nothing. Never mind the fact that you snatched them from familiar to unfamiliar and hostile territory. Never mind the fact that all you gave them was an M16 and a backpack when you dropped them off. Never mind the fact that they had no way to cope with post-traumatic stress after seeing most of their platoon's body parts blown 50 feet away from stepping on a landmine. After all that, you tell them, thanks for your service, and leave it at that. But you didn't think about one factor in the grand scheme of things. You didn't think about the families that were affected by the loss of those soldiers, dead or alive. Not a single person who is alive today that served in that war is the same mentally. Families end up having to distance themselves from that soldier because he ain't wrapped tight in the head. They can't deal with it or they don't want to be bothered with them. It's bad enough you abandoned them the way you did. But who the hell are they supposed to turn to now if their own family turns their back on them because they can't handle the shit that you did to them? And then there are people like me who didn't have a close relationship with their father because of the shit you did to them. One of the few times I believe my father and the likes of him might have been better off dead the way him and his peers were treated and left behind in society, which is where I come into play. There are, or were, a lot of Generation X's in the black community who didn't have a father in their lives because of your actions. Although my father survived, he might have been better off dead. It's amazing he even knew or remembered who I was to him. My family told me he was working for you but got kicked out of the military because he didn't follow orders. I can't fault him for that, knowing personally how you operate. Although I didn't turn out like most kids who didn't have a father in their house because of your actions, I feel for those who went down the wrong path. Their mother couldn't do it all alone, but then again, they ain't have a choice. The one thing I did learn was how not to be like my father for when I had kids of my own, because I wouldn't want them to go through the same shit. But yet and still, here we are 40 plus years later, and the son of a Bush you got in office now is doing the same shit Nixon did. Except Bush's reason for starting this war is still out there. Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. The supposed war on terror. For some reason, taking out Saddam Hussein helped the war on terror. No, it didn't. It ain't helped shit on this war. And now the death toll for this stupid ass war is more than the events of 9/11 itself. I'd like to see what lies you tell the people you served this time. I already know how you treat people you call veterans. The Walter Reed Army Medical Center in your backyard already showed us that in 2007. That's the type of things you give to people that come back wounded doing your dirty work. And I have the unfortunate privilege of carrying around that label of veteran for doing your dirty work when Bill Clinton was in office. So fuck you very much. for showing me what it's like to be a veteran, so I can tell my kids not to work for you. Sincerely, Diamond J, son of a dead Vietnam vet.
All right, that was Ben Jay with his piece, Letter to the Government. Now I'm going to take you down to California and play a piece by Kari Ture, and this is called Lost Paradise.
They say it's better to have loved and to have lost than to have never loved at all. This is a poem dedicated to the love I lost. I met her in college. I was seduced by her smile, her charisma and style, and I loved how she wore mini skirts tight. We met during the spring semester, and I'll never forget her. It felt like love at first sight. Her name was Paradise, and I was spellbound by her honey brown eyes. She smelled fresher than the scent of spring, and I knew it was real love, far from a fling, because inside of my stomach I could feel the flutter of butterfly wings. See, back then I was a starving college student with no money to spend, so I wrote Paradise love poems. I wrote up how her kisses tasted sweeter than cinnamon, brown sugar, and honeycomb. Evenings at my place, we cuddle in a passionate embrace. She rubbed my head while laying in bed, listening to the love poems I read and wrote exclusively for her. See, being young and naive, I once believed that our love could withstand hurricanes and hard times. And once we weathered our storms, we would be happily wed together forever. However, during her junior year in college, her kisses began to feel cold like the frigid weather of the winter season. My lack of money became the main reason. Paradise started receiving bad grades, complained her tuition could get paid due to a lack of financial aid. And I tried to persuade Paradise to stay enrolled in college, but she was no longer thirsty for knowledge. She no longer wanted to pursue a college degree. She wanted a new pair of shoes and a shopping spree. And her birthday was coming up, so in order to purchase new boots, she decided to start stripping down to a birthday suit. It was then that temptation entered our relation, disguised as a female acquaintance. Camouflage beneath Gucci and Prada, temptation was high maintenance. Temptation enticed Paradise into becoming a stripper. Gave her advice on how to spot a big tipper. Taught her how to keep men in a trance by moving the voluptuous hips during a lap dance. Paradise was on a mission to purchase purses from Christian Dior. She wanted diamonds to glisten and didn't have time to listen to my love poetry anymore. Eventually, she got her own place and we parted. I missed seeing her face and I was left feeling lonely and brokenhearted. But I would see her on TV making cameos and low-budget music videos. I even heard she was doing pornos with her body fully exposed. But a few years ago, I got news that Paradise was sick. It turns out she was slowly dying of the AIDS virus. In all these years we've been apart, I assumed that she was married to a baller living in wealth. But when I went and saw her, she was a shell of a former self, dying from deteriorating health. Her skin was pale, she looked thin and frail. She weighed less than 80 pounds on the scale as a result of having a low count of T-cells. And she admitted to having unsafe sex to get paid. Because the men wore no latex, she ended up contracting AIDS. And she told me, Kyrie, I learned that all the glitter ain't gold. And I sold the devil my soul the day I started sliding down that strip of pole. I kissed Paradise on her forehead, lovingly held her hand, and it was then I began to recite all the love poems I had written for her while back in college. And I tasted the bitter taste of my own tear stains when I reminded her of how her kisses used to taste sweeter than cinnamon, honeycomb, and sugar cane. And after I spit the last poem, her health began to fail. She took a last breath and exhaled, and I kissed Paradise farewell. And I cried all night when I came home to write this poem, wishing that Paradise had never died of acquired immunodeficiency syndrome. And enticed by the allure of selling her body for a price, I would tell her, sweetheart, no amount of money is worth your life. And ironically, just the other day, dancing erotically in front of me as I walked past the strip club, I saw a beautiful brown-skinned exotic dancer that reminded me of the love I lost. So I walked up to her in a gentle, loving tone, and I told her these words. Sweetheart, always practice safe sex and never think twice, or you may end up paying the ultimate price. And when she asked me why was I relaying this advice, I recited this poem of how I lost.
That was Kari Ture with his piece, Lost Paradise. Now I'm going to bring you back up here to the Pacific Northwest and play a piece by Deborah Renee, and this is called Before I Die.
Before I die, I want to glide and slide across the universe, touch the sky and tangle wash away her once upon a time fears, heal all her wounds of yesterday, and tell her how much I miss her and love her still. Before I die, I want to soar far and high, claim the sun's magic, and explore the secrets of the galaxy. Set foot on each of the continents, then recite poetry in the Holy Land, and explore my roots in golden Africa. And if I had the power, I'd wipe away all the tears and pain of humanity in every dwelling. I'd make sadness disappear, fear no longer, and peace forevermore. The existence of woes and heavy burdens lifted. I'd right all the wrongs and justice poured upon too many souls. Make us pure and whole again. Before I die, I want to go places I've never been before. Embrace the glory of all God's creation. Sit on the pyramids and watch the sunset. Take a ride down the Nile and daydream about what makes me smile while listening to God's lullaby. Gaze upon earth from the stars, then go visit Venus and Mars. Go find love wherever it lives, then melt into its red hot blazes, fall into its flames helplessly, but more than anything, unconditionally. Then make a wish, say a prayer for all. May they be granted love, love, and more love. Loneliness becomes invisible, impossible, and hearts are no longer shattered in pieces, nor tattered and battered by hurt. We simply love one another. Before I die, I want to experience weightlessness and happiness. Inhale the many scents of rapture. I want to summit a mountain in the Alps, surf the waves of Hawaii, and swim in the Dead Sea. Become all I was ever meant to be, and always believe in me. I want to sail around the world, climb the Eiffel Tower, stand atop the Statue of Liberty. I want to be something and somebody more than nothing. I want to always help my fellow man and walk that path of compassion. I want to stroll along the Great Wall of China, be successful and helpful to many. I want to make something beautiful and necessary. I just want to sit back and breathe, take in every moment, soak up the warm rays of fulfillment. Be a light of hope to somebody, anybody, just make a difference in this world, all before I die.
All right, that was Deborah Renee with her piece called Before I Die. Now I'm going to take you out to North Carolina and play a piece by a dear friend of mine, and this is Quiet Storm of Spoken Word and his piece, Why.
Feelings of rage, frustration, and depression. Wanting to get away from the madness. Tired of dealing with the immaturity of supposed to be men and women. Tired of dealing with the stress. Wanting to be treated in the manner that you treat others. Hoping that we learn to appreciate and respect one another. Children don't listen to the correct teachings that you give them. You begin to wonder if the craziness they display will ever end. People constantly try to get involved in your private matters. It's like they look for something to give them motivation to burn the phone lines up with chit chatter. The emotions that build up are so intense, so strong. You just wish that you could disappear for fear of doing something wrong. The midpoint of your life has arrived, and many things have passed. Your truest loved ones have gone on and no longer breathe life. With all that has happened in the midst of their absence, you begin to talk to God, and the number one question you have is, why?
That was Quiet Storm of Spoken Word with his piece, Why. Now I'm going to take you up to Canada and play a piece by Sandrine, and this is called I Am.
Emotion. A rose bulb sprang up one morning. Frail it looked, but how exquisite. Covered with dew, its petals were not ready. It needed to grow, to expand. It took a few days for the bud to become that beautiful flower that my mother used to adore. But soon, its wilted stem will bow before the sun and moon. So, before the world forgets about you, let me pick you up and smell your delightful fragrance. For time flies and I want to commemorate. I am the hand that will hold you dearly when I walk to the cemetery. I am the arm that will carry your grace to your last and befitting throne. I am the mouth that will speak about the truth of your fleeting beauty. Accompanied my walk to the cemetery. And death will rejoice.
Neva Sandrine with her piece, I Am. Now I'm going to take you out to Michigan and play a piece by Sabuda, and this is called Harp Song.
Mm-hmm. all of me goes out to the families and friends whom this song is about. I'm sorry to no end, but I can no longer pretend I don't see the lights. I mean, shouldn't they send up visions of fright? If we comprehend what's causing the sight, shouldn't we then predict the blight? It seems like the fight might cause less damage if our value of life wasn't so savage. The kids in the cabbage patch are the reason this death apparatus's laugh is a demon. Coming to clean when dirt is arising, millions of mean men hurling lightning. A scene so frightening, sounds like a movie. Terrorists heightening our sense of duty, removing the beauty while making us slaves. The weapons they're using are earthquakes and waves.
Cupid's song won't be a trumpet. Harp will sing and bring the culprit. Earthquake shake, make us nauseous. Thunder thumping and we pausing. Open your eyes, don't be afraid. We can change the cards before the hand is played. Open your eyes, don't be afraid. We can break the heart before the song is played.
The first place to start, Google Harp. See if your heart doesn't sink to your stomach. The Norway spiral's a viral, but just one of the hundreds of thousands of pieces of evidence that makes me believe this present tense. Battle we're fighting is with the elite. Cattle sublime, their burgers is beef. But what's underneath when we look to the past? It seems we've been sheep, always told the grass is greener, go this way, follow our path. A Beamer or Bentley don't make us laugh. Like Tony we're staff, but who's the boss? Our part of the grass only shows loss. Life is the cost. The knife is so sharp. It's time we turn off the song of the heart.
Cupid's song won't be a trumpet. Harp will sing and bring the culprit. Earthquake shake, make us all sin. Thunder thumping and we pausing. Open your eyes, don't be afraid. We can change the card before the hand is laid. Open your eyes, don't be afraid. We can break the heart before the song is played.
All right, that was Sabuda with their piece called Harp Song. Now I'm going to take you down to California and play a piece by Russell Blake, and this is called Black Woman Rising.
A fool once said, although African people may comprise the oldest known bones found on the planet, there were civilizations older than that. Older than that.
Older than that. Virtuous black woman, I will not be silenced. I will not go quiet in ways so that others will feel more secure in knowing that my voice or your validation will be still.
Black woman rising.
To lift up, cherish, support, and encourage you is a charge that many have been given, yet few have answered. As the first nurturer, you are the mother of civilization, the continuing forerunner of dynamic feminine power on so many levels of human endeavor.
Black woman rising.
I love you. And I will not shirk nor hide from speaking up on your behalf. For centuries, evil men have sought to douse, control, bewilder, and dominate your light. They were wrong.
Black woman rising.
Injustices committed against you have gone humanly unpunished. By moral indifference to your cause. Yet God is neither asleep, nor in admiration of that which is ugly. Amen.
Black woman rising.
Through the voice of antiquity, the rainless lands of Egypt and Nubia brought forth their powerful black queen. Institute's biblical analysis reveals your spiritual steps through the mist of time. Right on.
Black woman rising.
Realize from whom and for who you were created. Modern times still finds you being among the very best in every endeavor. From talk show hosts to biotechnicians, teachers to tennis, climatologists to clergy, scientists to surgeons to singers. No capacity of human activity ever finds you lacking.
Black woman rising.
So God has providentially equipped you for a time and a season such as this. Beneficent unto every good cause is the spirit of God thereof. There is no paradox to your earthly lifestyle, for your creation is one consistent of a divine nature. Therefore, your place is of the highest spiritual influence, the most vigorous religious walk, and the greatest sacred journey.
Black woman rising.
Virtuous black woman, God has embalmed within you all of the necessary ingredients for your resiliency and your victory. Your chief protagonist is the life, resurrection, and the gospel of Jesus Christ, forcing your victory conducive to your faith in Him. Therefore, remember that you can and will do all things through Christ which strengthens you. Hey, lift up your head, for you are a champion. Walk proudly in grace and gratefully surprised, knowing that you are a winner. Let no man define your soul, nor any job confine your spirit. As wings are to the eagle, so are you to the idea of God given to your imagination through the bountiful blessings of His will in us and for your life. Speak your words.
Black woman rising.
I am the All Mother, the original daughter.
Yes,
and multitude by the Son, God's first feminine creation. I have borne entire civilizations as I cried out in both pain and elation. I stand tall as oceans form and continents separate. I rise above the ashes of hate. My name, God, is not forsaken or forgotten. Though at times I have been beaten and downtrodden, I am the time-tested money-back guarantee of our existence, created by divine hand and with everlasting intention. My man, my brother, my son, many forces wish to cause tension and division, but I was born of you and give birth to you,
right.
A cycle of love and life designed with godly precision. I ascend and transcend the imaginations of mortal men. I am Black Woman Rising.
And I love you. Not only for what highs you have achieved, but rather for what lows you have overcome in reaching your goal. For as long as there is breath in your body, there is hope for another day. Light for the power of love. Praise for Almighty God and distinction for the legacy you are creating. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and you are neither declining nor defeated. But truly, in all ways, you are a virtuous black woman rising.
All right, that was Russell Blake with his piece, Black Woman Rising. Now I'm going to play a piece by a dear friend of mine, Big Trigger, out of Pennsylvania, and this is called Our Moment.
No limitation, no limitation, no limitation. When you hold me close and we look into each other's eyes, it's almost as if time stands still. There are no worries.
No worries.
There are no fears.
No fears.
All that is important is this moment, our moment. A space and time set aside just for you and I. Hold me closer.
Kiss me.
Kiss me. Kiss me again. The very thought of you has the ability to melt me. I can feel your presence even before I can see you laying here. There is nothing that I want more than to have you for my very own.
No limitation.
My greatest joy has been finding myself sharing time and space within your domain, learning the inner workings of your mind while exploring the hills and valleys of your exterior landscape. And because our intimacy gives me such a natural high, I find myself existing on cloud nine, with no thought of ever returning to Earth's atmosphere.
No limitation.
Breathing your refined air as I whisper naughty secrets to tantalize your ears, knowing instantly that it's only been me lacking you to complete the true picture. Wishing I could freeze time, but knowing I cannot. While our union perpetuates eternally, our souls combine in that vacuum that knows no limitations or aggravations of the everyday world. Your piercing eyes ignite a feeling that burns deeply in my soul. No other has ever sparked an emotion that seems to carry me to a place where pleasures live. Temptations and sensual desires overwhelm every part of my consciousness, encouraging me to indulge in such hedonistic sensations that will propel me to reach that climax that so many view as so powerful. With your smooth caresses and warm glances, you have managed to capture that part of me that runs free, giving me an opportunity to experience this feeling of calmness and serenity that has surprisingly left me speechless. Not wanting it to ever end, but knowing that you will be here waiting for another chance to showcase your magic, making this experience something truly worth waiting for. As you lay beside me glowing, and I'm infinitely thankful that you belong to me and that you will forever be my girl. No limitation, no limitation.
All right, that was Big Trigger with his piece called Our Moment. I'm going to close out the show today with a piece by the Anointed Poet, and this is his signature piece called Demolition Man.
I'm the Demolition Man. Well, should I walk where I stand? Yes, I do. I'm the Demolition Man. By faith, he then comes. Because that's God's plan, yeah.
I thank God for the opportunity to be the man he called me to. I speak healing over my body, and it's done. My mind, body, and spirit agree as one. Every word I speak tears down another wall of illness the devil thought could remain. I stop at every store of sickness in my body and shop or anything I need to take out as I begin to clear them all pain, not of God, not of God. The stripes of Jesus cut up illness, so I chop them into indistinguishable pieces until they are no longer in me as I kill all symptoms, not of God, and I am healed still. Afterwards, the Holy Spirit of God begins to heal my body. Keep claiming my healing to the devil's presence.
He's no longer there. He never will know illness. Tear me down when I speak healing where I stand. Yeah, I'm tearing down walls because I'm a demolition man.
No longer do I worry because I'm demolishing the plans of the enemy for my life. I'm polishing the surface which was scraped from random attacks on me. And from this day forward, as I destroy the devil, I'm abolishing all disease, all sickness, all symptoms I throw in the mosh pit. I Watch them bump and fight each other until they are no more, I.
Never will be my one.
Witness no more demons left standing on the floor, I. Watch the evil kingdom easily destroyed, I am bored, I. Keep claiming my deal.
When I see healing, healing comes. Because of my faith in God, it's already done. Thank you, Jesus, for the stripes that gave me power. I can conquer every pain. The devil's out in power. You need to know you can be a demolition man. Because of my faith in God,
it's already done.
When I speak healing, the healing comes, yeah.
No longer do I worry because I'm demolishing. The plans of the enemy for my life I'm polishing. The surfaces which were scraped from random attacks on me. And from this day forward, as I destroy the devil, I'm abolishing all disease, all sickness, all symptoms I throw in a mosh pit, I. Watch them bump and fight each other until they are no more, I. Watch the evil kingdom easily destroyed, I am bored, I. Witness no more demons left standing on the floor, I. Keep speaking healing over my body until it's completely restored. For alone, I have nothing, nothing. But with God, I'm the demolition man. Destroying every attack of the enemy, all his plans. Taking no prisoners, waking up all listeners. He who has an ear, let him hear. I eat up the enemy like T-bone steaks and sizzlers. We are all demolitionists against the enemy, destroying the devil while God takes it. So let's grab our Bible, speak and proclaim. We believe it's already done by faith, and we will see. From this day forward, our power will forever reign.
All right, closing out today's show was the Anointed Poet out of Indiana with his piece called Demolition Man. I want to thank everybody who tuned into Flavin' in the House. Today was a listening party, and I played a variety of spoken word artists from here in the Pacific Northwest to across the United States. So I want to thank everybody who tuned in to listen to the show live, to those that listened in the wings, and to those that come back and check out the archives.
Hi, this is John D. Green, Sr., and you're listening to Flavor News Radio. Flavor News has supported independent and underground artists of all genres since its creation in 2007. But now, Flavor News needs your help. A financial contribution of any size can go a long way in allowing Flavor News to continue to support indie and underground artists. To find out how you can do more, please go to www.flavornews.com. Thank you.
If you love what it is that I do here at Flavor News Radio, if you believe in the underground independent artists, if you are an underground independent artist and Flavor News Radio and Flavor News shows support to you, consider giving as little as a dollar, you know, to keep Flavor News Radio on the air. I have recently been notified that my hours are going to be cut at my job, And that's how I actually support everything that I do through Flava News and Flava News Radio. But right now, you know, to stay on the air, I'm really going to honestly ask you, you know, to consider helping out. And, you know, then I can continue to show my support to those that I really, really believe deserve to have the light shined on them. You can give a donation at www.paypal.com by using radio@flavanews.com as a send to email, or you can go to www.gofundme.com/5F8UO. And I'm telling you, if you think about it, if everybody gave $1 towards Flava News Radio, it would cover the expenses of the radio show for a year. Even more, it would allow me the option to even go 24 hours with a radio station, or, you know, it would allow me to set up, again, my Flava News Grant Foundation, where I can support some of your financial needs as underground independent artists. This is something I believe in. This is something that I just live and breathe, and I believe that it's deserving. But again, due to the budget cuts at my job, it's going to limit my income in being able to continue doing some of the things that I already do through Flava News Radio. So I want to thank you for your love and your support. Help spread the news about what we're doing. Help spread the news about the fact that Flava News needs your help to continue what we've been doing for the last couple of years. So take care, God bless, and help spread the word about Flava News Radio.